Happy New Year! We all face challenges over the last year. Although we don't know what 2022 will bring us, we know who holds the future and we can trust Him to care for us. Cry out to Him, repent for your sins and the sins of our nation, and rejoice in what God has in store for us in this new year.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Longworth.
This is Pastor Chuck Longworth again. I've been speaking the last two Sundays concerning the intertestamental period that occurred between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In most Bibles, unless it's a study Bible, there is not much, if any, reference to this period of time that took place between the Old and New Testament. But if you read the Old Testament, you actually, about the last half of the Old Testament in most, at least Protestant Bibles, are prophetic words, words from major prophets, so-called, and minor prophets. And the major prophets are not any more important than the minor prophets. It's simply that they had more of a message recorded, like Isaiah and Ezekiel, Daniel. They had more of a message recorded than the so-called minor prophets. But the minor prophets were still speaking on behalf of God. And then, of course, at the end of the Old Testament was Malachi, the prophet Malachi. And from that time until the beginning of the New Testament, there were about 400 years when God did not speak through the prophets. It's sometimes called the silent time or the silent period. And God may have been silent to his people, but that doesn't mean that God wasn't doing anything during that time. He was preparing things for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at some scripture today, and I want to emphasize the fact that God, I want to emphasize the fact that God has a specific timing for everything. Things happen in His time. And it's been said, and I've mentioned this several times, that it's just as important in our lives. It's just as important to find out God's timing on things as it is to find out His will. We may know the will of God for our lives, but if we miss His timing, if we try to rush things and get started before the right time, or if we miss the right time and we just are doing other things and involved in other pursuits, then we're going to miss God's best for our lives. So it's important to recognize that God works on a timetable. Someone said God never gets in a hurry, but he's never late. And that's an important thing to remember. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we read, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So God had a specific time for Jesus to come on the scene, for the Messiah to appear. And unfortunately, as John mentioned in the first chapter of his gospel, unfortunately, he came to his own, and for the most part, his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become sons of God. And that's important, very important to understand and to remember. Then in Matthew, let me just mention to you that, you know, of course, that there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And only two of the Gospel writers give us any real information about the actual birth of Christ. That's Matthew and Luke. And Luke goes into a lot more detail, as you'll find out, than Matthew does. But I want to mention one other thing. A lot of times you'll see manger scenes that have the wise men in the manger scene. And that may remind us that the wise men came to see the Christ child, but they did not come when Jesus was in a manger. They actually came at the time that he was between 1 and 2 years old, and he was in a house by that time. In fact, as we read that part, you'll find out that the wise men came and worshiped him and gave gifts to him when he was in a house. In Matthew, the first chapter, beginning in the 18th verse, we're going to read through chapter 2, verse 11. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife and did not know her till she was brought, till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And they sent, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go, search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, and I will come and worship him also.'" Of course, we know that his intention was not to worship him, but to kill him. And so the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Jerusalem, but to go a different way. And then you know that Herod did kill a number of children. He killed all the boy babies in Bethlehem and also in the surrounding region when he realized that as far as he was concerned, the wise men had tricked him. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And each of these, we won't go into that today, but each of these have a particular significance. And many people believe, if you recall, that an angel warned Joseph to take Mary and the baby Jesus, he was a toddler by then, but to take them to Egypt because Herod would seek his life and would try to kill him. I want to read you another short passage of scripture that really indicates in a very precise way the timing, one of the aspects of the timing of God. Later on, of course, this is after Jesus has started his ministry and after John the Baptist had been ministering in preparation for Jesus for some time. Now, when Jesus heard, this is from chapter 4 in Matthew, verses 12 through 17. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, that's where Jesus grew up, of course, he dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But one of the things that Matthew is very noted for in his gospel, over and over and over again, it will say something like, and Jesus did this or Jesus did that, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And he quotes the scripture from an Old Testament prophet or from another passage in the Old Testament. He quotes the scripture and shows how that Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Jesus literally fulfilled hundreds of different prophecies. One that comes to mind right now is the fact that the Old Testament scripture said that not a bone of his body would be broken. And you remember that when the scripture tells us that it was getting close to the Sabbath day, the sun was getting lower and lower and was probably getting about to set. And so it was customary if they wanted to take the prisoners or the people that they were crucifying, if they wanted to take them off the cross early, what they would do, they had a mallet, which I understand was like a short ball bat, and they would take that and break the legs of the people that were being crucified, and with their legs broken, they could no longer raise up with their calf muscles to get another breath, and they died very shortly after that of suffocation. So when they came to Jesus, it said they saw that he was already dead. They would have broken his legs, but they saw that he was already dead, and they pierced his side with a spear, and blood and water came forth. And that in itself was a fulfillment of prophecy from the Psalms, I believe. And so over and over again, Matthew is especially, he goes to great lengths to show again and again how that Jesus fulfilled prophecy in his life. And then in Luke 1:1, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative for these things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them, the ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. And if you recall, Luke addressed his gospel and also the book of Acts to this mysterious Greek person named Theophilus. We don't know for sure who Theophilus was, but Luke especially wanted him to know that Jesus was who he said he was. And so he says, an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of the things in which you were instructed. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. They were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the Lord was praying at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, that's to Zechariah, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them.
He perceived that he had seen
a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled by his saying. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that one which is born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And I believe that's the very moment that she conceived. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your
greeting sounded in my ear,
the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of these things which are told her by the Lord." And we're going to stop there, but you may want to read this for yourself. Like I said, Luke goes into great detail, the greatest detail, about the events that surrounded the birth of Christ. And this is a prelude to the birth of Christ from the Gospel of Luke. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Lord, hasten the day that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
Happy New Year! We all face challenges over the last year. Although we don't know what 2022 will bring us, we know who holds the future and we can trust him to care for us. Cry out to him, repent for your sins and the sins of our nation, and rejoice in what God has in store for us in this new year.
Bye.